Thank you very much for assembling for this wonderful festival of the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev. I am grateful sitting over here for the opportunity to be amongst you, taking the blessings of all the great souls, Vaishnava Acharyas and all the senior devotees. I will attempt to speak a few words. Today's day is a very auspicious day. After Adhik Mas, Nija Vaishak is going on. And today we are having two tithis together, that is Chaturdashi and Purnima. That is why we are celebrating many, many occasions together. So first occasion, of course, is the appearance day of Lord Narasimhadev. Second half of the day is the divine appearance of the deity of His Divine Grace Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Radha Raman Dev, who appeared in Vrindavan today. At the same time, today is the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya, one of the very, very close associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today also is appearance day of Madhavendra Puri, who is also very, very dear devotee of Lord Krishna. Today also happens to be the day when Lord Buddha appeared. Sri Krishna, by His godless mercy, appeared as Buddha Dev to deliver the people who were killing animals in the name of sacrifice. Also, today is the disappearance day of Parameshwari Das Thakur. Today also begins the swing pastime, Jhulan Yatra, a long time in Vrindavan Dham. In Gaudiya tradition, it is for 5 days. In Sri Vrindavan Dham, it begins much, much before. And also beginning of water pastimes of the Lord. Jalakeli. So it's a very wonderful occasion. So we will discuss first the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev. We will begin from the point when we saw the drama today morning, that Narasimha Prahlad was brought back to Hiranyakashipu, and he was very angry with him. He had ordered the demons to kill him by all possible means, but he could not be killed, being divinely protected by the Lord. They threw him off the cliffs. The Lord protected him. The snakes, poisonous snakes, the Paramatma in their heart didn't even inspire them to bite him. The elephant raised his mighty leg but didn't stamp him down. The Holika Devi, she had a boon that whomever she will burn with, that person will get burnt and she will not get burnt. But she got burnt and he didn't get burnt, and she was crying loudly, "I had a boon, what happened to that boon?" But then it was explained to her that the boon was given to you for bona fide reasons. Vidhayak karyo ke liye aapko diya gaya tha. Achhe kaam karne ke liye. To do the work of the Lord in case of difficulties, that boon was given to you, that you will not get burned, but the person will get burned. But you wanted to burn my devotee. That's why you got burned and my devotee got saved. So many, many ways he was poisoned. The poison did not act upon Prahlad. You can imagine the position of Prahlad. He's such a divine personality. Huh? As Govind Prabhu today was mentioning, that he never lost his cool. He always remained peaceful, calm and quiet, and also blissful, and always absorbed in the divine meditation, remembrance of the Lord. So when Narasimha Bhagwan in the end told him that you suffered for me so much, I want to give you something. He said, "My Lord, there was no suffering. Because I was constantly absorbed in your remembrance." Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrut that after Anusmruti, there is Samadhi Avastha. That is uninterrupted, intense absorption in the memory of the Lord. Fifth stage of remembrance. Prahlad was on that stage. That is why nothing external could affect him. And then again he was brought back, and the Shanda Amarka told Hiranyakashipu, "Don't worry, we will still try upon him." And you can imagine after that, he was teaching his classmates. You can imagine his many things. Imagine his compassion over the classmates of his, over the demon children. His fearlessness, that he was tried to be killed in so many horrible ways. One of the ways would terrify us, we'll fall even dead, even thinking of that activity which is going to come upon us. Even by thinking about that, we'll die by heart attack. And many of them were tried upon Prahlad. But still, even after that, he was knowing that death is, upon him. He had faith that Lord will protect him. But still, what amazed me while reading this pastime many years back was that after all this happened, then he was preaching his classmates. Then he was doing Sankirtan with them. He made them into pure devotees at the risk of being killed by his father and his assistants. And then he was brought. And you can imagine how angry Hiranyakashipu must be and how frustrated Shanda and Amarka must be. And they were trying to just shun the responsibility. It is not us. It is not us. My Lord, please. Be sure it is not us. It is not us. Please. Listen carefully. It is not us. And Hiranyakashipu was asking him, from where you get this strength? All time you are talking about your Lord, Lord and Lord. Where is he? Where do you get your strength from? Prahlad said, I get the strength from the same source from where you get your strength. Little twisted answer. Same Lord Vishnu is the source of all power for you, for me, for everybody else, every living entity, from smallest to the biggest, right from Indra Gopa to the Brahma, the mightiest demigod. All the strength is the source of all the strength. If he is source of all your strength and my strength, where is he? Let me see. Today I am going to devour you. You are like a cancer to the body. And it is explained in scriptures, if the body gets cancer, then immediately the cancerous growth should be removed and free the body from the disease of the cancer. So today, because you are a disease to this dynasty of demons, I will sever you from the family and free your dynasty from this contamination of your presence. And I will see how your Lord will protect you. So he raised his sword. He was a very huge demon, very powerful. And he asked him, is your Lord in this pillar? Again he gave a twisted answer. He said, not only in the pillar, but he is everywhere. Why in the pillar only? He is in every atom, every living entity. And also he is in between the two atoms. Where he is not there. So, okay, today I will see that how he protects you. And he raised his sword and smashed the pillar. And at the very moment, something very unusual happened. All of you know what happened, right? Everybody knows. Even the child playing there in the background will know. But my dear devotees, my friends, you should know that nobody knew that time. Even Prahlad did not know. That is most important. Even when Lord Krishna lifted Govardhan, even when we do drama, the children will tell, see, now that mountain will go up. See, now mountain will go up. Everybody knows now. But when that time he lifted, no one knew what is going to happen next. How he is going to protect us now. Nobody knew that. And here moment, Hiranyakashipu said, is he there in the pillar? And he said, yes, he is there in the pillar also. Immediately Narsingadeva appeared in the pillar. It's like today's class. It's an emergency class told to me to give. Like Narsingh Bhagavan also is an emergency incarnation, you know. Prahlad said yes and he had to instantly appear. But of course, he is supreme personality of Godhead, you know. Instantly he did so very, very perfectly. He appeared in half man, half lion form. Bedecked with all the weapons and these divine nails, all his opulences and beauty and strength, he appeared in the pillar. He made the pillar his mother. And Prahlad was being threatened and chastised and abused by his father verbally. But Prahlad was looking at the pillar. Great focus. His eyes were completely staring at the pillar because he saw the Lord over there. The Lord, it's Bhagavatam explains, the Lord was by his presence and by the darshan he was giving him alone from the pillar. He was assuring Prahlad, don't worry. Don't get fearful of your father. Of course he was not. But he was assuring that I am there. Similarly, through the words of scriptures, through the words of acharyas, the Lord is assuring us also, do not worry, I am there with you. We have to have that faith. That faith is the power that moves Lord from one place to another. That draws Lord's mercy upon us and compassion upon us and gives us the divine protection. So Prahlad was looking at the pillar intently. And instantly, as soon as the left fist of Hiranyakashipu smashed on the pillar, a thunderous voice came out. So loud and so shrieking sound came up. But for some time Hiranyakashipu was bewildered. He said, from where the sound is coming? And Bhagavatam explains that the voice penetrated all the Swargalokas, went to Brahmaloka and cracked the coverings of the universe. And at that time, the demigods were hiding at different places. Some of them were serving Hiranyakashipu down. Some of them were hiding, running away. They all were started shivering. And Brahma was fearful of that sound, the divine sound. And all of them said together that time for destruction has come. Pralayakal has arrived. There was so thunderous sound. It shattered the hearts of all the demons. And demigods also. Why is that? Demigods are devotees of Krishna. It is explained that those people who are having material desires of sense gratification, they only have the fear. So because they were devotees of the Lord, but still they have a lot of material desires, they were also shaken up by the sound. Prahlad was not shaken up by the sound. Most important to understand. Even in the end, everybody was shivering and trembling. Prahlad was not. Because it's like a child, you know, the father, suppose, wears some mask, very horrible mask, terrifying everybody in the audience, in the society. And if the child knows that my father is going to do this today, the child will say, hey, Papa, I know, enough now, stop your business now, I know. And he will start clapping, everybody is scared and child is clapping. Because of the loving bond between the father and child is not fearful. Everyone else who is in ignorance is fearful. Similarly, when the sound of Lord's roaring, echoed all over the universe, threatening the hearts of everybody, Prahlad was still peaceful. Feel calm and quiet. And at that time, Hiranyakashipu thought, what kind of creature is this? Because he had very intelligently asked Brahma that whoever, and apart from you also, not only you, but even other people also, all of them together, there should be no species that can kill me, that you have created. Or anybody else would create in the future. Any species that is created by you or anybody else should not be the cause of my death. And suddenly he saw this unique form, half man, half lion, angry. You can imagine the posture that the Lord had. When he came out, his hands were like this in front, elbow half bent, all the nails spread out, and his eyes were like red coal. His knees were half bent, ready to stance. The stance was such that he was ready to jump over the enemy. And it also explained that his ears were straight. Erect and straight. Wedge-like ears. You can see when the lion is about to attack its prey, the ears become straight, focused. His teeth were deadly. His sword, the tongue that he had, was dwelling, moving around in his mouth in such a way, red color, dark tongue, as if the sword was shining in his mouth. Very, very fearful looking. In between, he was licking his lips and edge of mouth. Nostrils and the gaping mouth are looking like caves in the mountain, taking deep breaths. It is said that when he was taking breath angrily, the oceans got agitated. And he moved his head angrily. You can see how the lion is. He was so angry. At that time it is explained that the aeroplanes which were there of demigods in the universe, they got thrown out of space. They were thrown out of space. The orbit, the earth's orbit, which is the distance where the gravity is active. He was thrown beyond that. And then his neck was short and thick, his chest was broad, his thin was waist like a lion, and his huge body was touching the skies. And his effulgence was spreading and covering all the directions. Everything was so full of light. And as I told you, his attacking stance, it is said that this posture of Narasimha Bhagavan is the most ugra, most angry posture. And when they wanted to make such kind of murti in Mayapur, the Sthapati, the murtikar, told that even in the heavenly planets, the 14 planets of the universe does not have murti like this, including Brahmaloka. What to speak of me making it for you? So by the mercy of Prabhupada, the murti, that is the stance that is not available for vision for him, for demigods, is available in Mayapur, Sri Navadvip Dham. And lately, one of our hospital employee, Mataji's budding devotee, I was explaining how ferocious is this Narasimha form of the Lord. How ferocious is no form like this in the whole 14 planets. And is the angriest of all angry form. So she told me, I don't feel it is so angry. I said, because you are a devotee. Because you are a devotee at heart, you don't feel that fear. But everybody else was fearful, including demigods and Brahmadev also. So you can see that the Lord, you know, the same angry form, which is like causing so much worry and fear in the heart, can actually not cause fear at all, but also cause great pleasure in the hearts of devotees, like Prahlad. So it's a good fortune of that lady that she did not feel that fear, and also felt that Narasimhadev was very pleasing darshan. Also, Lord had, you know, 8 arms. 4 of the arms had Shankha Chakra Padma Gada, two arms had, one had sword and one had shield, and two had nails in front. So Hiranyakashipu looked like a wasp in front of this blazing fire like effulgence which has filled the sky with his presence. You know, Hiranyakashipu was very huge actually. He was very, very big bodied, very strong bodied demon. But even he appeared like a wasp. So when he picked up his, managed his feelings, because he was a little bit surprised and a little bit taken up by fear. But he preached himself, I am Hiranyakashipu. I have got the boon of Brahma. Who can kill me? So why should I be fearful? If this Vishnu has come, what Vishnu can do to me? I will see that Vishnu is killed today. I will prove to the world how powerful I am. This is illusion. The Supreme Lord is standing in front of you. And he can be personified time kal for you, or he can be the liberating force for you back to Godhead, depending on our consciousness. So Hiranyakashipu was in illusion. He thought that I will kill this Lord. I will finish him off. And with great vigor, he took the sword and he attacked the Lord. And it is explained that he just stopped being visible in the effulgence of the Lord, as if the kite, you know, the insect enters the fire. Very soon there is no existence of the kite. The fire consumes and only fire is seen. Like that, when he entered, it's like a wasp entering the fire, and his appearance was finished, not to be seen. And he attacked the Lord's chest again and again. But the Lord is like, you know, it's like flower for him. The way the Garuda is, when he captures the snake, sometimes there is a effort and then there is some fun, and then Garuda will leave the snake for some time just to play, again to go and catch him, again to give some hope to a snake. Like that, Hiranyakashipu was fighting for his life to kill Narasimha Bhagavan. He was taken in the grip by the Lord. And immediately Lord left him. So he thought, Lord is fearful of me. Now I will show the Lord. He is fearful of me. Now I will win the battle. And again, as the snake jumps on the mouse, Lord captured him. And he said that, can I have the fan please? This one. Yeah, it's all right. So, it is said that Lord appeared much, much before the dusk. Because he wanted to have also fun. The story goes like this, that when the Lord comes down, there's a few differences between Goloka Vrindavan and the material world. That the Lord all fans go on one number, only one can put on. So in the spiritual world, there is all loving devotees, and the Lord also has Veeras. He wants to enjoy a fight, and playful fights doesn't give him so much pleasure. Marathi mein kehte hai lutu putu chi ladai, khel khel mein. So that doesn't give him great fun. So his devotees only, due to some pastime, the Lord arranges, the devotees take form of demons, and they come down in a proper field, you know, proper ground, in the material world where there is Trigunas, and where there is, I am not a devotee of the Lord doesn't exist. These kind of feelings are possible in the material world. So real enmity can be experienced by the Lord. So Lord had come to fight, also to enjoy the fight with his so-called devotee who came in the form of Hiranyakashipu, one of the brothers, Jay and Vijay. So he came much before dusk, and they had fight for a long time, you know. And there was, the victory was swaying from one end to another. One time Hiranyakashipu appearing victorious, one time Bhagavan Narasingadev appearing victorious, again Hiranyakashipu, again Lord Narasingadev. And what was happening in the skies? The demigods were coming out of the clouds and in the clouds and out of the clouds and in the clouds. As per the situation. Again, the fear is because of what? In case he sees us and he comes to know that we want him to be killed, and they are enjoying the fight between me and the Lord, and they want me to be defeated and be killed. And if he sees that, and by chance, if he doesn't get killed, I mean, he remains alive, then he will finish us, he will take revenge. So they were going in and out of the clouds, out of fear. The Lord also was creating anxiety in their hearts, what will happen. No, unless there is thrill, there is no fun, you know. Just straightway there is victory, what is the point? This will be thrill. So Lord played with him for a long time, made him feel at times that he is victorious, made him feel he is getting defeated, he is getting victorious. And finally, when the time of dusk arrived, you can see the Lord said, enough is enough. The time is coming. And he remembers that his devotee, Lord Rama, has given so many boons to this person. Not in the night, not in the day, not on the earth, not in the water, not in the skies, not with any kind of species, not human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, and aquatics. No creature can kill, no weapons can kill, no astra can kill, no shastra can kill. So many conditions. And plus, he wanted to have the pure, total sovereignty, all the whole creation, all the universe. He asked that all the benefits that the yogis achieve after performing tapasya for millions of years, all that I want together, one time only. Brahma said, it is very difficult to give, but nonetheless I will give it to you. So that kind of person he was handling. And he had to, the Lord is so magnanimous and so wonderful that he had to handle all these conditions and still kill him. So first he came as half man, half lion. And then when dusk time came, he just grasped him like the snake grasps a mouse. Lifted him and carried him towards the doorstep that we call Dehliz, or the border of the house and outside. And he stood there and he did not sit down. He just took one leg and put another leg and made an asana, natural asana, and he placed Hiranyakashipu over there. And you can imagine Hiranyakashipu was like, you know, trying to save himself, trying to take him out of the grip of the Lord. But Lord was, with two arms, he was holding the body of Hiranyakashipu fixed on his newly formed, newly made asana. And with two arms, he pierced his nails in his abdomen. And he ripped the abdomen apart. And with the two arms, he just took the intestines, grabbed them and just pulled them out and garlanded himself. And he pulled the intestines out, and the blood smashed over his mane and over his face everywhere. He was looking very ghastly, actually very horrible. He was roaring like big lion, tumultuously causing fear in everybody's hearts. And then he got hold of the heart, and like a boy plucks a mango from a tree, he plucked the heart out and threw it away. You can imagine how angry he must be. Why he was so angry? Because his dear devotee Prahlad was tormented by this person. When the demigods, when they prayed to Lord, please save us from this demon, he's causing atrocities, he's displaced us from our kingdom, the Lord said, you wait. When he will torment my devotee, then I will come. And when that happened, the Lord was boiling with anger, burning with anger. Nobody could contain even seeing him. In this condition, with so much of anger, is ripped him apart, you know, threw his intestines out of his body, garlanded himself, because he appears very ghastly actually. How can somebody garland intestines, you know, can garland flowers or so many things of the world, maybe artificial looking also, huh? You know, sometimes notes of currency can be garlanded, like the politicians. But who has garlanded intestines filled with blood? Only the Lord can do that. And how that can appear still beautiful, only the Lord can do that. Even the Lord was garlanded with intestines filled with blood, all the blood smashed over his mane and everywhere, was looking very, very beautiful. This contrast can only exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot, you know, put intestines around us and look beautiful still. But the Lord can, definitely. You can imagine, the Lord killed him. Everybody was shouting, Aho Balam, Aho Balam, Aho Balam. I think sometimes it is said that when he appeared from the pillar, the demigod shouted, Aho Balam, Aho Balam. Sometimes it is said that when he came and he actually killed Hiranyakashipu. Because that time there was fear whether he will be victorious or not. But it is for sure that he has now killed him. Freed the earth from the burden of this demon called Hiranyakashipu. So they shouted, Aho Balam, Aho Balam. From that, Aho Balam, the name of that place has come. In Singhachalam, where it is supposed to be the darbar of Hiranyakashipu, there is supposed to be the pillar there, there is supposed to be the school of Prahlad, 9 different beautiful forms of Narsingadev is there. And the whole mountain, Singhachalam, in Andhra Pradesh, is called Aho Balam. So you can see his eyes were fierce, he could not be looked at. While he was doing all these activities, and even after that, his tongue was whirling around horribly in his mouth, licking the borders of his mouth and lips. And then, all the demon friends of Hiranyakashipu, they raised their weapons and they attacked. So that time he just threw the body of Hiranyakashipu on the ground like a piece of garbage and attacked all the demons who were attacking him. And with his able and powerful nails, he ripped everybody apart and he finished them off. A long time this battle was going on because there were thousands and thousands of people, demons were attacking him. So till there was no more challenge, he kept on ripping them apart. He finished everybody apart and they all were dead. And that time the demigods showered flowers on the Lord. They started playing drums, kettle drums. The Gandharvas and the Vidyadharas and Kindaras started playing wonderful music. The Apsaras started dancing. They kept on showering these celestial flowers which never get morosed. And started singing songs of praise. And at that time, when the opposition was stopped, the Lord sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. It's also explained that this activity of sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu also was an act of love actually. Because he was one of the two brothers, I don't know exactly Jay or Vijay. So they had come down to perform this pastime. It's also explained that the Lord could have come in many forms, could have sent Maya energy also. But all this activity the Lord does just to please his devotees. So that years after years, yugas after yugas, millennia after millennium, we all can keep on narrating and keep on deriving benefit from this wonderful pastime of the Lord. That is why he did all that effort of coming half man, half lion and nails and so much fighting, so much roaring, terrifying the hearts of demons and, you know, killing so ghastly way. Hiranyakashipu throwing his heart away like a fruit, throwing his body away. So many things he did. Just because when we hear and read this, we just say, wow, Hari Bol, Jai, Jai, like that. So even demigods are shouting on the skies, Jai, Jai, victory, victory. It's a wonderful pastime. So you can see, it's also explained that when I forgot to mention 2-3 effects of the Lord's killing Hiranyakashipu, that when he was doing all this activity, the fight was going on, the earth was slipping from her position and the mountains were getting erupted from different places because of the pressure of the Lord's body thumping on the ground of the earth. So you can see the clouds were scattered, the aeroplanes were scattered, the outer space, and so many things happened. The elephants were crying in fear when the Lord was loudly roaring, shrieking sound was coming. So in this way, Lord Narsingadev fulfilled all the Brahma's conditions. So we can understand Lord can do anything. The anything is very important. Lord can do anything. He is an autocrat. Even Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains. He can do anything, anytime, anyways. I mean, most impossible, unimaginable situation, the Lord can do the most wonderful things. That is why the devotees should never lose hope and should never have fear. Because once we have faith that my Lord will protect me, how He will protect me, that we don't know. But the devotees did not know how He is going to lift Govardhana and save him, save themselves. But we should know that in the history, so many occasions have happened where unimaginable, unbelievable feats have been performed by the Lord to protect His devotees. So, it is Anuman. Anuman is what? That okay, if this has been done by the Lord many times, and if I have faith like those devotees, then He will protect me also. Not only for protection, but He can do miracles in our lives. The most unbelievable things, sometimes dreadful diseases, sometimes so many things happen. The Lord wants, and if it is good for us, the Lord can do anything. So many times these miracles have happened, even by Lord Narasingadev's mercy. One devotee had cancer somewhere abroad, and somebody suggested that you perform Abhishek to Lord Narasingadev in Mayapur. And as soon as Abhishek was done, the previous scan showed cancer and the next scan showed no cancer. So this does not mean that all of us should do that now. Whatever is good, the Lord does. There may be so many devotees having cancer. They can still worship the Lord. But the Lord will act what is, in a way, what is good for devotees. If it is good for you to get freed from difficulties, diseases and dangers, then Lord will take it away. If it is necessary for you, for us, to go through those dangers and diseases and difficulties to get purified and come closer to Him, then He will maintain all those conditions of life. What is the meaning of protection? It doesn't mean that what is good for our senses, what feels good, is protection. There is a common notion. That's why we say Narasingha prayer when we start driving. But we should know that we are not trying to say the Lord that save me from accident. Save me from my new car getting scratched. The fear is that I just bought yesterday, last month, you know, only hardly 100 kilometers I have driven. My Lord, please, I am new driver. That should not be our prayer. Our prayer is that in case I die, I have come across difficulties, bewildering my consciousness, please protect my consciousness so that I can remember You. That is the meaning of Narasingha prayer that we do. When Prahlad said that this wonderful form of Yours, people will remember and get free from all fear. That fear is not material fear. The fear is that whether I will forget You, my Lord. That is the only fear devotee. A true devotee has only that fear. That I am fearful that I will forget You. So please see that, my Lord, this fear of mine is mitigated by Your interference, by Your involvement. So we should all sing Narasingha prayer whenever we start a good work or start driving or start traveling in the trains and all, only with one purpose, that I should not forget You, my Lord. Let this body be finished. Let this body remain. Let my life remain or get finished. I should always remember You. And this protection of my memory, please, my Lord, You assure me. My mind is attracted by illusions. My consciousness is much stolen by the worldly temptations. My mind runs towards opposite sex, money, fame, prestige, adoration. My mind is stolen by so many things. I am being stripped away by Maya Devi. So please protect me from that, my Lord. Protect me from that robbery of Maya, of mine, which is belonging to You. All my mind, all my consciousness, all my thoughts, processes is meant for You, my Lord, only supposed to be attached to You, glorifying You, and that has been stolen away from me by Maya. Please protect me from that. For that the prayer is there. So when the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, killed all the demons, and only devotees remained, like Prahlad, Brahmaji, all the demigods, they all descended down, throwing flowers and singing prayers. And all the demigods offered very beautiful prayers to the Lord. But the Lord was still hissing, still angry, still breathing heavily. Still the oceans were agitated. And still all the effects which I mentioned earlier were taking place. And Brahmadev also offered prayers beautifully. Still the Lord was angry. So then they say, what to do? Lord has to get pacified. They were fearful, they were trembling. So they looked at Lakshmi Devi. Brahmaji thought that let us go and approach Lakshmi Devi, who is a very dear wife of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narasingha Dev. What we say? Jai Narasingha, Sri Narasingha, Jai Jai Narasingha, Praladesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bhrunga. He is the one who is constantly absorbed in beholding the beautiful lotus-like face of his wife Lakshmi Devi. That is his description. So they thought that now she is the person who will save us. But she said, I don't know this person. I have never seen this form. I know, yes, I am always serving his lotus feet in the middle of the ocean, pleasing him constantly. But this person I don't know. This kind of anger he has never exhibited when he was with me. So I cannot go. So you can imagine the position of the demigods. No, they were actually helpless. They were not knowing what to do. At that time, Brahmaji looked at Prahlad. And Prahlad was all throughout this time very peacefully standing over there. And then Brahmaji, the original living being, the first living being of the universe, approached Prahlad and told him, please, you are a devotee of the Lord. For you he has come in this wonderful form. For you he has killed his demon. You are the cause of this wonderful pastime. You have relieved us from the great anxieties that we had for years together. So now please, you go ahead and offer worship to the Lord. And very humbly, he took a garland and went to Lord. He offered Dandavat Pranam to the Lord. And he approached the Lord. And when the Lord saw him approaching, he immediately got pacified. So you can imagine that if we were in Prahlad's position, we'll get so proud. We'll get so proud. Why not? Because people like Brahmaji are standing there, were the controllers of the directions and the universes, with their direction and instruction, the sun and the moon rise and so many things happen. They are so powerful people. They're not like ordinary presidents of these countries. They are the managers of the universe. They are standing there, who are learned, who are powerful with mystic powers, and they are helplessly standing there. And I am such a small boy. Look at my prowess. Look at my greatness. So he didn't walk with pride. He was walking with humility. And the Lord looked at him with so much of affection, lifted him by his own hands and put him on his lap. And like the lion does to his children, like the babies, what lion does? How does the lion show love? By licking. So the Lord licked his whole body with great affection and love. And at that time when the Lord touched him by hands and then by his tongue, that same sword which was appearing so fearful, moving in his mouth, terrifying everybody, that same tongue was licking Prahlad with great love. And it is explained that Prahlad got totally freed from all contamination of material desire instantly. What happened to Prahlad? Prahlad, as soon as he was sitting on the lap, tears flew from his eyes, flowed from his eyes. His hair stood on the end, Romanch. His body was trembling, Kampa. And he was filled with transcendental love for the Lord. And then he got fixed in a complete transcendental position, in spiritual trance. And he started offering prayers to the Lord. Prahlad's position is so fortunate position actually. In front of all the great demigods, he proved that devotion, faith, determination is the strength of a devotee actually. Freedom from sense gratification, desires for sense gratification is the strength of a devotee. And with all this situation, with this humility, determination, faith, when he serves the Lord, when he performs devotional service, he wins the heart of the Lord and wins the attraction of the Lord towards him. And that frees him from all the contamination. Attracts the attention of the Lord with full mercy. So what first statement Prahlad made? Very significant. He said, I am unqualified. I am born in demoniac family. All these are great demigods who are Brahminical by their virtues and knowledge and power and devotion. I have no qualification. I am standing here totally unqualified. That is the position of humility of Prahlad. Very impressive personality. Then he says, I'm not fearful of your wagging tongue and cold-like, dry, angry eyes and mane filled with blood and face filled with blood, your breath agitating the oceans, all this fearful situation. I'm not fearful of that. He's saying, I am fearful of the life in the material world. Now, so many of us including myself, are living so comfortably in the material world, and trying to make it more and more comfortable, trying to make plans so that we can furthermore make ourselves comfortable in the material world. But the sentiment of a pure devotee is that I am fearful of the life in the material world of material desires. But that is the only thing I know that Prahlad is saying, that which will take me away from you, which will make me go in separation from you, bereft of you, and then I'll get engulfed in the Maya. I'll not even understand that I am being separated from you. So I'm not fearful of this form where everybody is fearful of, but I am fearful of life in material world. Even in this condition of the greatest success in life, you can imagine, for Prahlad, you know, he was so much honored. The best moment of his life was that. He was awarded for all that he did for the Lord, all that he went through, all that he accepted gratefully, for the chanting of the holy names, for the devotional service, for the love. Every single thing, he was the epitome of the events of his life was that life, that moment when Narsingadev appeared, killed Hiranyakashipu, took him in his lap, and now he is standing. The Lord's attention is only on him. He is looking at the Lord with full trance, spiritual trance, the highest occasion of life. But still, he did not forget his Guru, who was not present over there. He was present over there also, but he did not forget him in the middle of all the praises and all the wonderful words and all the position that he received in front of the demigods. He said, "It is because of his mercy, my Gurudev Narad Muni, today I am able to see you. It is his mercy that he saved me from the material entanglement. Even after being born in demonic family, demonic mother and father, association, the Gurukul, demoniac teachers, it is because of his teachings I was saved. So I am grateful to him. And I will never give up his service." Because he knows that serving Gurudev is serving the Lord. And at the same time he said that, "Oh my Lord, my heart breaks for those people who are in the material world." And what are they doing? They are simply making elaborate plans to make our life in the material world very comfortable. I feel sad for them. I also feel sad for those people who are so-called realized people, but they live in the mountains and caves and doing their own salvation. Why don't they come down in the material world and deliver their knowledge to people who are most needed in all these things, in the cities? "So my Lord, I do not want anything. I simply want to save all these people. That is my prayer to you." And the Lord is so pleased with his prayers, and he offers that, "Prahlad, you have gone through so much for me." This Lord is proclaiming, "You are the best of all the devotees. People will follow your example. Please ask for some benediction. I want to give you some benediction." You can imagine, you know, if I am standing in front of the Lord and Lord is offering anything that you want, I will think so many things in mind immediately. So many big lists like Hiranyakashipu will come in the mind. But what Prahlad is saying? Prahlad is saying that, "I do not want anything. I am worried that I will give up your remembrance and forget you. I only want safety from that. I am worried from? Two things. I am worried because of kama, that is material desires, and moksha, desire for liberation. Both things are material. I don't want to have all those things. If I were to ask for some benefit from you in the exchange of my devotion, I will be like a merchant, like a vyapari. I don't want to be like a merchant with you. I am your devotee. I want to serve you. If you want to give anything to me, please grant one boon to me." Please hear carefully. This prayer all of us should offer to the Lord constantly. Even though we are filled with material desires, oceans of material desires are there in the heart, but we should not fail to offer this prayer to the Lord. Even for one moment we stand in front of the Lord, we should offer this prayer: "No material desire should enter in my heart, my Lord." Prahlad is actually a pure devotee. Like Prabhupada, when he was standing in front of deities and folding hands and shedding tears, the devotees were asking him, "Why you are crying? What you are praying, Prabhupada?" He said, "I am praying to Krishna that Maya should not attack me. I should not fall in Maya." He said, "Why you have to fall in Maya? You are a pure devotee. You are already beyond all these things." He said, "Constantly, even on the platform of pure devotional service, one has to keep praying to the Lord, do not make me fall in Maya." Because from any position one can fall in Maya, because even performing pure devotional service is an act of independence. Only thing difference is when you are on the platform of pure devotional service, the moment to moment decision is there that I will do this. There is no gap in between the two moments of decision of surrender to the Lord. It is a continuous, uninterrupted, unmotivated process. That is why they are safe. But one can choose out of his independence, okay, I will now, this moment I will give to Maya. That is why Prahlad is praying, even after getting freed from the Lord's touch, from all the material desires, he is saying, if you want to grant me one boon, please free me from all the material desires and never one should enter in my mind. Then Narsingadev blessed him, says, please enjoy the opulence of all the demons, remaining absorbed in me. Exhaust all your pious activities, thus nullifying all the impious activities, and in the end you will return back to me, back to Godhead. So assured Prahlad, even if you stay here and continue living, you will not get lost in Maya. You will be freed from all the contamination, and at the end you will come back to me. And Lord Narsingadev himself gives Phalashruti of this whole pastime. So whoever discusses about our pastimes, and whoever chants the prayers that you have prayed to me, you have offered to me, these two things very important. Whoever discusses the pastimes of us, that is Prahlad and Narsingadev, and whoever recites the prayers with sincere heart, the prayers that you have offered to me, then what will happen? That person will get freed from all the reactions of material desires or actions. All the karma phala, bad and good, will be vanquished in the course of time. Gradually, the Lord has said. That is why year after year regularly we keep reciting. And that is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Tota Gopinath with the company of Gadadhar Pandit would hear this pastime again and again. It is said that every afternoon, after spending some time in the morning with Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bakula, he would take his prasad and then he would go to meet Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was the acharya of Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest of all the acharyas. And Gadadhar Pandit would recite this pastime. And he would finish this pastime with great love and affection, shedding tears. And at the end of the pastime, Lord Narsingh Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, say it again, read it again. And he would dance in ecstasy. And it is said hundreds of times, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this pastime of Prahlad and Narsingh Bhagavan from the lotus mouth of Gadadhar Pandit. That is the place we should go and derive inspiration, the taste, the attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam, to hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And then Prahlad said that my father was so sinful actually. He offended me, he offended you, he blasted you, any bad words. What will happen to him? So please, my Lord, you should please deliver him. The person who had caused so many atrocities to Prahlad, you can imagine, you know. We will become very easily enemy of such a person. Very soon. One attempt also. But Prahlad, when he went through all those atrocities, he was not feeling inimical. Even at the end, when Lord came and killed him, he one way felt very happy. He said that as saintly people feel very happy when they see snakes being killed, scorpions being killed. Now that he is killed, everything is fine now. But I feel bad for him, because he is my father. And he will go to hell, and maybe he will suffer like anything. Please deliver him. Lord said, why you have to say these things? The fact that you are in the family of Hiranyakashipu, he's already delivered. And not only he is delivered, but 21 generations, 10 before, 10 after, are also delivered. Do not worry. It is a great fortune to have a son like you in the family of demons. The whole race of demons today have been delivered by my glance, by my touch. Because my body, my hands, my nails, my divine nails have touched the body of Hiranyakashipu. That time only he was delivered. So some devotee asked Maharaj that, it is good, na, to become a friend of a devotee only. I mean, somebody in the family should become a devotee and we should become their relative. So it is, why to chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulative principles, you know, go to yatras sometimes, so not getting prasad on time, and 240 buses traveling whole day and night, and still destination doesn't arrive, and then Ekadashi comes in between, then Narsingh Dev Jayanti comes in between, and no eating, drinking till evening, and Janmashtami till midnight, no water also. So much trouble we have to take. Instead of that, somebody else should become a devotee and I should just take birth in the family. So the answer to this question, we should all hear very carefully, that even if one of us become pure devotee, it is not that all 21 generations will get free license to go back to Godhead. What Narasimha Bhagavan says is very, very clear. He says that they are freed from all their karma account. Purification from the results of the activity of karma, the good or bad, that is nullified. That means the slate is filled with the report of good actions and bad actions to be suffered or enjoyed. That is just cleaned. But you have to write something on that, on the empty slate. On that platform, we have to start doing devotional service. And then, by the dint of our own desire and endeavor, we should develop some qualities in devotional service and attract Lord's attention, and then Lord will causelessly bestow upon us Shuddha Bhakti. So he said, this is a proof to that. He said, as your father has been purified by me, you don't need to do anything, any ceremony, but still you should go and perform Shraddha ceremony for him, to set an example. And then what he says, so that Hiranyakashipu can take birth in Swarga Lokas and can gradually become my devotee. That means the people who are in the family of the pure devotee, 21 generations back and forth, should have to endeavor on their own to become the Lord's devotee. So what is the benefit? The burden of the sinful activities and the reaction which they have to go through and suffer, which can be a great botheration in the progress of devotional service, that is taken away. It's like small man, you know, is given 200 kilos of weight on his shoulder and asked to run. He will be hardly able to run, hardly able to walk and put next step. He will be just fumbling, he may fall down there only. But still attempted to run. But suppose somebody comes and just lifts the burden from his shoulder, he will immediately start running. Why? Because now the burden has gone away. So that kind of benefit one receives when one is in the family of devotees. So sorry for this information. Message is that we all have to individually work for our own salvation. And that too, that salvation will not come by our own endeavors. That also we should know. This own endeavors that we perform should convince Krishna that we want him. Our endeavors are like tiny endeavors. It's no way can qualify us to go back to Godhead. But the endeavors are 100%, then the Lord will be convinced that he wants me. And then he will bestow by his godless mercy. And then he'll take us back to him. So, looking at this wonderful pastime, Srila Prabhupada established Narasingha Aarti in all over the world in his temple. You can imagine, twice a day, all over 450 centers, and more centers are coming, every center that is established has a fixed protocol, morning and evening, we sing Narasingha Aarti, and ISKCON is filled with so many divine stories. You know, you can read so many life stories of devotees and Prabhupada Charitamrita and everywhere, that how Narasingha Deva has come time and again to save the devotees. So many times, Narasingha Bhagavan is, I think, most popular in ISKCON movement. Because no one knows the power of Narasingha Deva, the glory of Narasingha Deva, the kind of protection that he provides and what miracles he can perform. No one has experienced up till now, other than ISKCON devotees. This is Prabhupada's exclusive mercy upon us. And Narasingha Deva, even in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was explained that when the Muslims attacked, Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta had installed the murti of Narasingha Deva and nothing had happened. So when in Mayapur, the same thing happened, the Yavanas attacked and disturbed the community devotees in very, very ghastly way. They wanted to establish Narasingha Bhagavan because they were guided by the Gaudiya Math devotees. Yes, even the previous generation Guru Maharaj, Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta had done the same thing, so you also do the same thing. That time Bhavanand Prabhu decided. And you can imagine that Lord is so merciful that the concept of Ugra Narasingha, how he looks like, no one knows. It's not explained so elaborately. But somehow in Bhavanand Prabhu's mind, all these descriptions appeared by the mercy of the Lord. And when he, on his own, sketched the whole design, the way he wants Narasingha Deva, the Muddha Sapati said that this is Ugra Narasingha, this is not there in the Brahmaloka also. So you can imagine, when the Lord wants, he can appear in our minds and heart at his own will, very sweetly, and benedict, and bless us. It is a sweet vision, sweet will. So, Prabhupada ji established Narasingha Aarti all over the world for protection of our spiritual life and to be free from fear of nations. Actually, the fear comes from ignorance, avidya. And because the avidya is harbored in the heart and is cultivated by us, by material desires, we become fearful. What is the fear? That we will lose what we are attached to. So Narasingha Dev Bhagwan will relieve us of these attachments. When we will leave them, when we lose them, we will become fearful of. That fear he will take away. So Prahlad proclaimed for everybody's benefit that whoever will remember Narasingha Bhagwan, whoever will recite, will see darshan and worship Narasingha Bhagwan, will be freed from all this fear. So on today's auspicious day, we should all sincerely pray the Lord Narasingha Dev to free us from that fear and free us from all the material desires. Today is the day, because on the auspicious day of appearance of the Lord, he is more and more and more merciful than the other days. Other times also he is merciful, but he is very merciful, especially on the day he appeared. I would like to also narrate to you a small story of Mayapur Narasingha Dev. In Mayapur Narasingha Dev, there was a pujari. Many stories of the wonderful appearance of Mayapur Narasingha Dev. This assures us, when this you read, all of you should read that small book of the pastimes of appearance of this Narasingha Dev and the other pastimes also. It will give you a confidence that even in today's life, all these things can happen. This is not very far, even if you 30-40 years back. Is that so? 30-40 years back? Prabhupada was there when Narasingha Dev? No. Later on, right? Yeah. So even in modern times, these pastimes can take place. If the Lord has to appear, he will appear nonetheless, whichever way, in whatever conditions of life. Anyway, Narasingha Dev appeared in Mayapur, and since then there was no atrocities caused by any yavanas or any terrorists coming there. Full protection is there. So this Ugra Narasingha form is very ferocious, one sense, you know. But, so one pujari, new pujari, was very scared of him. And at night time, especially when time comes to put the deity to rest, that two pujari is doing all preparations, and suddenly one pujari gets out, and so when he would remain alone in the black temple, the ferocious murti, he would feel fearful. Now he would start trembling till the devotee comes in again. So every day this would happen, and he would just pray that the devotee should not leave, he should remain inside, I am fearful. Somehow he was doing the service. So one day, after many days this happened, one day he got a dream. That same Lord appeared in his dream, and he sat on him, piercing his nails in his shoulders. He said, "Why are you scared of me? I am your Lord, you are my devotee. You don't have to get scared of me. Please don't get scared of me." He was in a dream also, fearful. And then he woke up when the dream ended, and he saw the nail marks with blood on it. You know? So he got so ecstatic. He was a brahmachari. He just jumped from his bed, started jumping, singing, dancing, running, going back and forth. He went to temple room, came back, again went to temple room on the road. You can see the brahmachari ashram, long building is there. Then you have to go like this, and you have to go take right turn, and you have to take left turn, and go to temple. So he did all that many times, and by the time, time came for Mangalarti. And he was still doing that. And then devotees were looking at him, what happened to him? But they were looking more down than up. So what happened? So he suddenly realized that he was on the Kopin only. He was sleeping, and that time only he got a dream, and he became ecstatic, and he was in this transcendental condition. That devotee came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital also. And he showed the marks on shoulder. The healed marks of the mercy of the Lord on his shoulder. So this Narasingha Bhagwan is very instantly fulfilling desires of devotees. The way he appeared instantly, Tatkshan, Prahlad said, and he appeared. Emergency incarnation of the Lord in the most wonderful form. That means he is also having an aspect of his personality of instantly responding to the desires of a pure devotee. So we have to have faith that when we pray to him, he responds. If you go to pray to him in Mayapur, he will respond. But one thing we should remember, that we should never pray for any material things. Okay, my disease should get cured, my loan should get over, my poverty should go away, so I can become a better devotee of yours. So please don't do that. Because he exactly knows what is the best situation for you, in which you will make best progress in Krishna consciousness. And he will always put you in the best situation. What you have to pray is that in that best situation that you have put me, my Lord, please keep me enthusiastic to go on serving you. I should not, in the best given situation, which appears to be bad for me, but in the best given good situation for me, I should remain faithful, grateful, and enthusiastic in serving you. That we should pray. And you will see the instant response the Lord will give you. Please, whenever you go to Mayapur, try this. You will be successful. We have my hometown in Karnataka, in Mangalore. There was a place called Mulika Kshetra in Mulki. And there also Ugra Narasingha Murthy is there. Very wonderful, long stories there. Sometimes we'll go and recite over there. How the Lord was in the well, he revealed himself in a dream of a pure devotee, and he took him out of the well and told him to carry him forward. And then there was a light in front of that devotee in the middle of the night, showing the road. Pitch dark. In the old days there was no electricity. So he was told to take him immediately night itself, and he was walking in the jungle, and something like torchlight was over him on the road in front. And the murti is very small, only this much. And that murti is golden in color, with one leg, left leg bent, and left leg is bent like this, and right leg is folded over the left leg, creating asana. And then there is Hiranyakashipu on that. And then there is two arms tearing apart, two arms holding, two arms wearing the neck, garland of the intestines, everything is there in such a small murti. And it is said that whenever the pure devotee, Swamiji, kept him somewhere in that village, there was fire and fights. They were very fearful. They said, Maharaji, please go. Your destiny is not yet reached, please don't stay here. There was fire and there is fights going on. And finally he reached Mulika Kshetra at the banks of Shambhavi River. The holy Shambhavi River. And there when he put the murti down, nothing happened. Today also the murti, the abhishek is done again and again. We call it the coconut water abhishek. It's done repeatedly to keep him cool. The special rice, Ganji Prasadam is served to him. Where he's very famous. People come to take that prasad. And one unique thing in this village is that, in my village, is that everybody in this village is ardent devotee of Narasingadev. You know, they will appear to be very ordinary people, simple people. When they start talking about Narasingadev, they will say, he is so glorious, you know. Taane taka pindun solle. Payar thavarnu pindun solle. Udandil taka. This is Konkani language. You know, how Lord, you know, lifted him and put him on his lap and just tore him apart and threw him away. How glorious the Lord is. You know, one time they told this in front of me. I was so startled to see this simple and ardent devotion in their heart. And one unique thing in the village is that they performed Narasingha drama once only in the history of Mulika Kshetra. And when they performed this drama, the person who became Narasingha Dev, he killed Hiranyakashipu. Actually physically killed him. No? Because it is said that in our village, if anybody does this drama, and whoever plays Narasingadev, Narasingadev will enter in him. So that's why in the village of Ugra Narasingha's deity, and the whole village is known by that deity, and the center of their life is Ugra Narasingha, but never there was drama performed of Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu, Narasingadev, you know. Only it is heard nicely. Sravanam, the best. Even they don't keep any calendars of Narasingh Bhagwan in their house because they have a fear that either there is a fire or there is fight in the house. So if you present them a beautiful picture of Narasingh, I presented them, and they came to my house in Bombay, our Ugra Narasingha deity in Mayapur. So they just went and offered in temple, and temple it is put there. They don't put it at home. Very beautiful deity. Whenever you get opportunity to go to Udupi, it's just 25-30 kilometers from there. This Mulki Narasingha Bhagwan temple, Ugra Narasingha temple. It was on the Datta Jayanti day, it was established by the Swamiji over there. And it is said that our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, many generations before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is one Acharya called Rajendra Tirtha. And his disciplic succession is there in the village. The gurus, the current gurus are in that particular lineage. So that's why they are Gaud Saraswat Brahmins. They are in the Gaudiya lineage only. But we come in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct line. And before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that line is bifurcated there. So Narasingha Bhagavan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki. Thank you very much. Now we will discuss about Acharya Srinivas, the incarnation of the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what Prem Vilas Grantha explains, that he was the very embodiment of the love and ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Acharya Srinivas is a second generation devotee. After the Goswamis left this world, then Acharya Srinivas was the prominent devotee of the Lord. And he was born in the village called Chakhandi, the bank of Ganga, in the Burdwan district of Bengal, somewhere in the second decade of 16th century. His father's name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya, mother's name was Lakshmi Priya. They were childless for many, many years. And a very beautiful story Radhanath Maharaj always explains, that he went to, he had great devotion for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow mysteriously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he was there in the same time, contemporary. But long time he couldn't go to Navadvip to visit Lord. But he was a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. That means 24 years of Lord Chaitanya's life, he could not see him. And one day he determined, I will go now. And he left. I went to Navadvip and found that Lord has left Navadvip to take sannyas. So he was crying in pain. So he just immediately went to Katwa, Kantak Nagar. And there he saw the ceremony already is going on. He's asking, why? Why he has to take sannyas? He can perform kirtan even without taking sannyas. He can preach without taking sannyas. The ceremony already has gone ahead. They already threatened Keshav Bharati that they will throw his ashram in the Ganga, and they have threatened the barber, and everything else has already happened, and already the hair is undercutting that what is his name, Madhav Seli, the barber, Madhu barber. He was already trembling at that time. This was happening, and then in the course of time the events went ahead. And the barber somehow cursed himself that he was the one who had to cut the beautiful hair of Lord Chaitanya. And that happened, and then the hair were buried in the ground to make samadhi. And he left his profession. Everything happened, and Keshav Bharati gave sannyas. And they gave the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And that name was given. This Gangadhar Bhattacharya started chanting, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Say, Chaitanya, 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 Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he was so much transformed. He actually went into a stuporous condition. He almost became mad. Started jumping, falling on the ground, rolling on the ground, getting up, shedding tears, and trembling body. And that way he returned back in this same condition. Like one time Narad Muni went in same condition from Vishnu Loka to Kailash Loka, and Lord Shiva met him. Same way, trembling, trembling and trembling, he just reached back to his village of Chakhandi. And from that day onwards, he was only chanting one word, Chaitanya, Chaitanya and Chaitanya. So he became famous as Chaitanya Das. Then again he went to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. He stayed many days in Puri. Lord received him very beautifully, gave him Mahaprasad, sent Govinda to give darshan to Lord Jagannath. And he said, please go, offer your prayers from heart to Jagannath. Lord was personally hosting Gangadhar, Chaitanya Das. And then he called Govinda, and after many days of residence in Puri, he told Govinda, when he was not there, Gangadhar Bhattacharya was not there, but Lord Chaitanya himself revealed his heart to Govinda, that Chaitanya Das, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Das, desires to have a child, because they were not having child for a long time. He has not expressed to me, but I know that he has expressed the desire in front of Lord Jagannath. So very soon, he will be blessed with a child. My disciples, Srupa and Sanatan, they have been instructed by me to write literature. And this child who will be born of Chaitanya Das will be the book distributor. Whatever they have written, he will distribute it to the world. So, at that time, when they went back, very soon, the wife of Gangadhar Bhattacharya conceived. And gave birth to a very beautiful effulgent looking son, and he had effulgence, golden effulgence like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. His maternal grandfather Balram Vipra, the father of Lakshmi Priya, predicted that this personality is Mahapurusha. He is not an ordinary personality. He had his arms reaching towards his knees, golden effulgence was there like Lord Chaitanya. And his unique nature of childhood was always, his mother was so wonderful lady actually, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, always would recite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in his ears. And that way he was brought up. Dhananjay Vidya Vachaspati, he became his teacher. And he taught him religion, logic, poetry, dharma, tarka, kavya, vyakaran, rajniti, ayurved. And frankly, Dhananjay Vidya Vachaspati told everybody that hardly anything for me was there to teach him actually. He appeared to have known everything before only. I was just doing a formality. One day, Goddess Saraswati appeared in the dreams of this wonderful boy Srinivas and told him that I will make you expert in all branches of knowledge and you will become the most learned person. So he became pride of Chakhandi village because of his knowledge, because of his purity, because of his devotion to the Lord. He became very famous and he accepted Narahari Sarkar from Srikhanda as his Shiksha Guru. And Narahari Sarkar, of course, there is a long story, I am cutting it short, time is very short. So he went to, he told him to go to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya had told Gadadhar Pandit already that my devotee Srinivas will be coming, please teach him Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told to Sanatan that he will come to Vrindavan and you will take care of him, cultivate him nicely, give him good training and he will distribute the books. Already had predicted. So he went to Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya had gone away, disappeared from the world. So he felt very sorry that Narahari Sarkar had told him to go and meet Lord Chaitanya, but he could not meet. Next person he was told to meet was Gadadhar Pandit. So he met Gadadhar Pandit and also met many associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Ramanand Roy, Shikhi Mahiti, Vakreshwar Pandit, Gopinath Acharya. He met all of them and he met Gadadhar Pandit also. And he said, I want to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. One thing I forgot to mention to you, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared in his dreams and told him that you should learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gopinath Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit said that I am very old and I have cried so much tears, so all the ink of the Bhagavatam has washed away. And now I cannot teach you from this Bhagavatam because everything is washed away. So you should get another copy. So he sent a message to Narahari Sarkar to get another copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we have so many Bhagavatam sets available in every country, every city, everywhere. Those days, there was only one manuscript, which would be shared by hundreds of devotees, and plus tears, and so many difficulties. And they had to, you know, take so much trouble to get another copy of that. So he had to travel back and forth and everything. And by the time he got the copy, Gadadhar Pandit had passed away. Because on the way he went to Navadvip, again he was coming back to Puri, he was went to Navadvip, he met Vishnupriya Devi there. And he very closely observed Vishnupriya Devi. And he said, she is the only worthy wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because she was chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One mantra and she would take one grain of rice aside. And whole day very intently, Acharya Srinivas observed her and said, she is the only worthy wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he met Bansimadan Thakur, Ishan Prabhu who would serve there at home, Damodar Pandit, Shuklambar Brahmachari, Murari Gupta. He took association of everybody. And then he went to Kardaha from there, where he met Ma Janava Devi, Virabhadra, very effulgent. Everywhere he went, like Navadvip, he reminded everybody of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were in separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they felt as if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. So they understood his Gaur Shakti, his empowered personality of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he went to Kardaha and again, he went to Khanakuli Krishnanagar. Anybody knows which is his village? This is the village of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Sri Dama incarnated Abhiram Gopal Thakur in the Gaur Leela. And this is his village. And he went there and he has a Jai Mangal whip. So as soon as he came there, he whipped him 3 times. That Jai Mangal whip was supposed to give Krishna prem to a pure devotee of the Lord. If somebody is impure, he would die. And after receiving 3 whips, he was dancing in ecstasy with great joy in Krishna prem. He also received instructions from Abhiram Gopal Thakur. Then he went to Katwa and offered his prayers to the place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sannyas. Then he went to Agradvip and he met 3 Ghosh brothers, Madhav, Govind and Gopal Ghosh. And he saw Radha Gopinath deities also, offered his prayers over there. Then he went to Ekchakra to visit the place of Lord Chaitanya Nityanand Prabhu's birth, the village. Then he went to Jajigram to meet his old mother and meet again Narahari Sarkar. Then he went to Varanasi. He met Chandrasekhar Acharya, who is the maternal uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took prasad in his house. He was hosted there. And then he went to Mathura. On the way, in Varanasi only he came to know. I told you about Gadadhar Pandit passed away, right? Gadadhar Pandit passed away. He was shocked. He fainted. He fell unconscious. He cried and he stayed for a long time over there. So somebody would wonder ki why he was getting so much delayed. Why he had to visit so many places. Some acharyas explained that he was showing the importance of visiting holy places and meeting devotees from the holy places. What is the importance of association of pure devotees? Because all of them who were there after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world were pure devotees, were his very close associates. So he took every moment to, you know, take inspiration and guidance and instructions from all the pure devotees in Navadvip, Katwa, in Ekachakra, in Jajigram, in Agradvip, everywhere. So by the time he went to Varanasi, he was told that he was supposed to now go to Vrindavan to meet, because even Janava Devi sent message to Rupa Sanatana Goswami that he should be called. So when he went to Kardaha, she told himself immediately rush, because Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami are also in too much separation. They may not live longer. They just rushed him. And he went to Varanasi. He came to know that 4 months back, Sanatana Goswami passed away. Next authority of Srimad Bhagavatam passed away. Again he felt unconscious. Again he cried like anything. And he rushed towards Mathura. When he reached Mathura, he came to know only 4 days back, Rupa Goswami left his world. He said, why the Lord is doing this to me? What is the next plan for me? What is he in mind for me? So this is like a hopeless condition, right? You are a devotee and you have been given instruction and you have a mission and everything appears to be miserably failing at every step. So one time Radhanath Maharaj told us that when one sees hope in the most hopeless condition, one attracts the mercy of the Lord. Because a devotee has faith that whatever happens in life never happens without the desire of the Lord, and the desire of the Lord is the ultimate plan for us, which is good for us. It may appear very painful for us in our material situations, but this idea, the situation that Lord puts us in, is always for our spiritual purification and upliftment. So a devotee who is a true devotee, who has nishtha on the Lord, he never loses faith in the worst happenings in life also. So he was devastated from the heart to lose one after another great souls who were supposed to guide him personally. But still he was thinking what the Lord may be having planned in mind. Will I be able to bear the next incident like that? And again he got up and went. And then he went and he was weeping under a tree, only desiring to have death. He was praying, death should occur upon me. How will I be able to tolerate now the separation of these great souls? So then he met Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya had told Gopal Bhatta Goswami that Srinivas will come, you should take shelter of him. I mean, you should give shelter to him, give him initiation and train him. And he also had told Jiva Goswami, when he will come to you, please train him very nicely under your care. So he was lying in the lap of Jiva Goswami, crying tears. And Jiva Goswami consoled him and gradually, very beautifully trained him. Gopala Bhatta Goswami gave him initiation. Narahari Sarkar was a Shiksha Guru. He had asked initiation from him also. But that time Narahari Sarkar told him that your guru is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When you will go to Vrindavan, you will receive initiation. So similarly, he got initiation, and then two of the great devotees arrived at the shelter of Jiva Goswami. One was Narottam Das Thakur, disciple of Loknath Goswami, and one was Dukhi Krishna, who was disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, who is in the pastime of Ambika Kalna with Gaurudas Pandit. And all of them studied under Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami sent all these three people, very close friends and associates, to study the forests of Vrindavan with the company of Raghav Pandit. Because Raghav Pandit, there is a gufa in Govardhan, Raghav Pandit's gufa. He was personally guided by Nityanand Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu personally had taken him around Braj Mandal Parikrama. Thakur Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Mathura Mandal Mahatmya, it is explained. So Raghav Pandit took all these three personalities all over Vrindavan and they studied very beautifully the forests and the glories of the forests of Vrindavan. And then Janama Devi desired that she wants to have the Vaishnava literature in Bengal. because the literatures were not available and the Goswamis were in Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered them to stay in Vrindavan and write the literature. So literature was being produced in Vrindavan Dham. Rupa Sanatana Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they were writing new and new literatures. And so she sent a message that I want this literature to be transferred to Bengal. So you can imagine that such an important mission it was. Jiva Goswami realized it was a very, very, very important mission. He actually oriented all these three great souls about the mission that they had in hand. The gravity, the importance, the glories, and the Vaishnava culture that we need to preserve and spread all over. So Jiva Goswami properly oriented and preached Acharya Srinivas. And then the long time that it took for them to find donors, to create bullock carts and create boxes and trunks and chests nicely, and they arrange all the literatures one after another, and they 9 guards were sponsored by somebody. These 3 mahantas were walking with them, and then 2 carriers were walking. Total 15 people were made ready. An auspicious time, Madhu Pandit brought the Mahaprasad garland of Gopinathji and garlanded Srinivas Acharya, and the journey began. And you can imagine that this is the most famous story of Gaudiya Sampradaya. Huh? How the book distribution actually began and how it took place successfully, I will tell you in short. They walked around for a long time, they did kirtan on the way, and every day they would sing the holy name of the Lord and make the villagers sing, and they would travel, and they went to Van Vishnupur. There was King Birambir. He was actually a good king, but he had many dacoits with him, many bandits with him. He was called as Bandit King. Something like, a king which is also having some other side of the story. So he's had a horoscopist who told him that a great treasure is entering in your kingdom. It's filled with diamonds. The treasure is more valuable than diamonds and gold also. It is guarded by 15 people. And there are 3 saintly people in that. And there are 9 guards in that. So everything was described very beautifully. So he was very tempted. He said, I want that treasure. Everything comes in my kingdom is my property. So he sent the guards, he sent his people with weapons, 200 people he sent. And they one time followed this, but they could not do anything. So then there's a long journey, all these 15 people slept, including 3 sannyasis. And they found it easy to steal the whole treasure, and they took it away to the king. The king saw, he was immediately, he was so eager to get the diamonds and so all this property which was more valuable than diamonds and gold also. He opened everything and he was very sorry and very morose to receive only books. And he saw a palm leaf, signed by Rupa Goswami. He saw the beautifully, Rupa Goswami's handwriting was more beautiful than pearls also. So beautifully written, Rupa Goswami's name was there. And he picked up some papers and read, and he said that time only his heart was transformed. But he didn't understand what this meaning, all this pastime, and why this was told to me as the biggest wealth. And so he just kept it aside, but his heart was already repentful. That I have done something great wrong. I don't know how wrong it is, but something wrong I have done. And then some effulgent personality appeared in his dream very soon, after a few days. And that personality told him, you are my disciple, I am your master, and the books that you have stolen, I will come very soon to take those books, and we are supposed to distribute these books everywhere. So totally bewildered in the dream. Who is this person? So walking, because that time when they woke up in the morning, they saw this treasure was gone. So Acharya Srinivas was the leader. He said, it's my responsibility to find the books. So I will stay here and do my excursion of searching books. You both carry on and start preaching mission, and whatever upadesh you have learned, start preaching them for the villages. So Narottam and Dukhi Krishna, who was then, actually before leaving from Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami named Srinivas as Srinivas Acharya. He named Dukhi Krishna as Shamananda Pandit, because you are pleased Radharani by your great devotion. And he named Narottam as Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. And he said, now you go. So they went away, and he walked to Van Vishnupur. And in Van Vishnupur, he met one Brahmin who was very attracted to him. He hosted him, later on got initiation from him. And then they went to the king's assembly, because they heard one day that they recite Srimad Bhagavatam every day. The king was getting transformed. started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam with some Vyasacharya. One Vyasa, one Pandit. So he heard that, so he took Krishna Vallabh Prabhu and went to the king's assembly and sat in the assembly. And the Vyas was, you know, very in a karmakandic way, giving interpretations and for money's sake only. He was not even interested in pure devotion. He was just doing his duty, Panditya duty. So Acharya Srinivas stood up and said, "Sorry, sir, something wrong you are saying. This is not the way you should recite. This is the wrong purport you are giving." So very much angry actually. Again, next day he went, again the Vyasacharya was reciting something wrong. So again he stood up. And this went on for a few days and the Vyas was getting very angry. This news went to the king and the king said something interesting happening. So he came and he said, "Why don't you give chance to this Brahmin to speak also?" So he said, "Are you sure about it?" Vyasacharya was very angry, but the king has all power. So he said, "No, let him spit and speak." So it is explained that he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam for something like 8 to 10 hours that day. You know, and Vyasacharya was getting, you know, hurt because his position was at stake. But he mesmerized everybody, including the king. He said, "We have never heard such kind of descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Maharaj, please, I want to surrender my life to you." The local newspapers in those days, whatever. In the book it is explained chronicle. Chronicle means pakshik, you know, that in a fortnightly. There must be some newspaper coming, right, that time. They gave the news, very wonderful news. They say that even the stone walls melted by his explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the news. So whole the Van Vishnupur got the news that a great sage has come to our kingdom. So then the king surrendered. And when he first time saw Acharya Srinivas, he could realize that this was the person who came in my dream. So immediately his heart melted and he surrendered. And he got initiation. His new name was Haricharan Das. Prem Vilas explains. Then later on Jeev Goswami named this Haricharan Das king as Chaitanya Das. And the son of the king also was named as Gopal Das. And the Vyasacharya also took initiation. He also was transformed. And the entire kingdom was converted. And then the king took him as his royal guest also, and guru also gave him the best of quarters. And the one day they were together sitting and discussing. And that time the Gurudev expressed his heart, I have come to this kingdom to search that lost treasure. And at that time this Chaitanya Das, the Haricharan Das, cried like anything and fell on the ground with so much grief and sorrow and guilt and repentfulness. "I am the person actually. Please come immediately." He took him into the godown where the whole stock was put. And when Acharya Srinivas saw that treasure, you know, shining effulgently, and it is explained that they had stacked the books in a particular way, but when they opened, they saw Chaitanya Charitamrita on the top, which was not put the way before they had arranged the books. So which the purport Prabhupada gives is that Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the cream of all the Vedic literatures. So when it was taken from one place to another, naturally the cream came on top, like that. So immediately Acharya Srinivas called for chandan, tulsi, you know, the incense and all the lamps and everything. He wanted to worship the treasure of the books immediately. The king immediately got, and there was a Maharati perform of the stock of the books over there. And then he said, "Haricharan Das, it is your duty now to join me and distribute this literature everywhere." So the whole kingdom along with the king assisted Acharya Srinivas to do the book distribution there. And then a long time passed, and then he went to Jajigram again to meet his Shiksha Guru, who was sick, Narahari Sarkar. Because his own mother was entrusted with Narahari Sarkar, because they all have got instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he is supposed to go to Vrindavan. So Narahari Sarkar, who is Shiksha Guru, took care of his mother, and she also was sick that time. So Narahari Sarkar said that your mother is a pure devotee of the Lord. Now she has such a wonderful devotee, Vaishnavi, that now she is about to leave her body and you should please her. And her desire is that you should get married and you should accept that desire. So immediately accepted after a long time, after long duration of time, when he met his Shiksha Guru. And then Narahari Sarkar arranged for the marriage. And there he learned, after reaching Jajigram, that Vishnupriya Devi, the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also passed away. So he was very morose and sorry, in great pain. And then he got married. his one thing more I forgot to tell you, that he went to Katwa from Srikhanda after accepting the instruction of Naradi Sarkar to get married. On the way, he went to Katwa and met Gadadhar Das, who is a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There Gadadhar Das, he went to Kazi and he said, "Chant the holy name." That Gadadhar Das he met. And Gadadhar Das blessed him. He said, "Ki one day you will experience ecstatic Sankirtan Yajna in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his close associates." How, he didn't explain to him, but he blessed him. He said, "Now you go and get married." So then the daughter of Gopal Chakravarti, whose name was Draupadi, was selected for him. Raghunandan Thakur personally arranged all the things under the instruction of Narahari Sarkar. The marriage was done. And Draupadi gave birth to two sons. And the two sons died after birth, very soon. So he was advised by other local devotees that he should get married again. So having one wife, he got married to another person whose name was Padmavati Devi, who was later initiated and given name Gaurangi Priya. And Draupadi also was initiated and given name Ishwari. And after that, Draupadi Devi gave birth to three daughters, three illustrious daughters of Acharya Srinivas. One of them was Hemalata, who later became Hemalata Thakurani Devi. Second was Krishna Priya, third was Kanchana. And Gaurangi Priya gave birth to one son, whose name was Gati Govinda. And today also, the disciple succession in the line of Gati Govinda is existing. Sri Srinivas Acharya's greatest contribution was that he distributed books. And one of the unique style of Kirtan, called as Manohar Shoy Kirtan, that the name of the Kirtan Paddhati is Manohar Shoy, in which the devotees would go in ecstasy and fall unconscious sometimes. And it is explained in his diary, the day-to-day schedule was so tight that early morning he would rise and till 10 o'clock he would explain devotees Srimad Bhagavatam after taking his bath. And then for 5 to 6 hours till late afternoon he would chant the holy name in seclusion. And then in the evening he would recite Srimad Bhagavatam and narrate to devotees and have satsang till late night in the evening. So his schedule was explained to be very, very, very busy. He was constantly immersed in the processes of Krishna consciousness. And in the whole of his life, he only wrote 5 songs. And one of them is, which song? Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Krishna, Kirtana, Gana, Nartanam. Describing the glories of 6 Goswamis that we sing, he has written personally. So, Srinivas Acharya in Krishna Lila was Mani Manjari. Mani Manjari came down as Acharya Srinivas. Narottam Das Thakur was Chamaka Manjari. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami is incarnation of Ananga Manjari and Guna Manjari. And Acharya Srinivasa's Siksha Guru Narayana Sarkar was Madhumati Gopi. So this way, we are blessed with the pastimes of Acharya Srinivas. He has done such a great service that today's concept of book distribution is originated from that concept. And because of his personality, he always reminded everybody of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his love, by his devotion, by his presence, by his knowledge, by his preachings, association and teachings. He reminded everybody of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one more personality who was reminding everybody of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the son of Janaba Devi, Virabhadra. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu to get married, he told that, "I will come as your son and no one will know this, only you will know this." So when Virabhadra was born, Nityananda Prabhu was in ecstasy to see the second form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again appear. And this is another form. Gaur Shakti was invested in him. So today also happens to be the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. All of you have heard, I think, in great details on Chandan Yatra Day about the story of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is incarnation of Yoga Pita Kalpa Vriksha. He is a desire tree himself. And what strikes me, the whole pastime all of you have heard many times, but what strikes me most is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating the whole story of Madhavendra Puri to his followers. And he says Madhavendra Puri was so fortunate that so many times Krishna appeared in his dreams. Right? So many times. One time when he was there in Govardhan, Gopalji appeared in dream. First time Gopalji directly came to him, gave him glass of milk. He couldn't recognize him. Then Gopalji second time came in dreams. Then Gopalji appeared in front of him in the Mahamurti. And then years after years, I think 2 years, every day Annakut festival took place. And again Gopalji appeared to him, told him I am very hot, and sent him to Remuna, sent to Jagannath Puri. From there he again came back to Remuna. Then again Sri Gopinathji stole kheer for him and was named after him as a chor, Kheer Chor Gopinath. And then Gopinathji again appeared to him. Gopalji told him in the dream that me and Gopinath is not different. He offered me this chandan. So how fortunate is Madhavendra Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is glorifying his Param Guru. Madhavendra Puri is a personality who actually established Radha Tattva in this world. Before that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was worshipped as Krishna. But he is the one who introduced the principle of Radharani. And then further, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, Vikas, developed their whole concept of Radha and Krishna's love. And the ultimate knowledge about Radha and Krishna's love was, you know, preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Goswamis. But the initiating process was done by Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri is celebrated Acharya. All the Brajavasis took him as their guru. Second personality was Sanatana Goswami, who also was like very famous and very popular amongst the Brajavasis. Madhavendra Puri also a similar personality. There were many, many people who came from other kingdoms, other states, in thousands of number, who took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was so alert that he never wanted to be, you know, in limelight. Whenever he came to know that immediately that Gopinathji has stolen kheer for me, he left immediately in the middle of night only. It is said that when you want to give up fame, fame comes running behind you. When you want to hold fame, fame leaves you. Fame leaves you. This is the transcendental equation. That materialistic people want to hold fame and increase their fame, and fame always keeps teaching them. One time garland, one time stones. But Madhavendra Puri was so alert, and he wanted to give up the fame, but before he reached Jagannath Puri, his fame that he had, Gopinathji himself has stolen kheer for him, reached Jagannath Puri before he reached Jagannath Puri. And there also they received him and they worshipped him. And there he accepted the fame and all the worship only for one reason. Because he had the order of Gopalji to be fulfilled. He could have even left from there also. But Gopalji had ordered that from Malaya Hills in Jagannath Puri, you have to take Chandan from me. So he tolerated all that glorifications just to keep serving. This is another antidote for getting freed from these attachments like fame and adoration, profit, material desires. That if one is absorbed and engaged in service to the Lord, then it's like vaccine. It gives you complete immunization towards these unwanted things, anarthas. And then Madhavendra Puri from there went to Remuna again, offered Chandan. He stayed almost, I think, a month. We offered Chandan for 21 days. He was told by Gopalji that till all that Chandan is almost 400 kilos, 480 kilos, and something like 230 grams of camphor was also there in that. He was told that till all the Chandan is finished, you stay there, and then afterwards you return. So all the villagers came, and the Remuna Vasis came, and they every day would, you know, make Chandan paste and mixed with camphor and offer to Lord Gopinath. And then it was over, then he came back to Vrindavan again, to Govardhan. So this is Madhavendra Puri. Today also is the appearance day of Sri Radha Raman Dev. Very, very dear and special event. When we went to Vrindavan, we were told that if you have little time in Vrindavan and you have no time to go to all the deities of Acharyas, the Vigrahas, then you should go to Radha Raman Dev. Radha Raman is such a deity that you can get darshan of all three principal deities in one deity only. So we'll explain to you how that is true and possible. So the story goes way back. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was a small child in Sri Rangam. Very soon we'll go there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his South India tour, when Chaturmasa came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided at the house of Venkat Bhatta. And Venkat Bhatta was the devotee of Sri Rangam, Lord Ranganath. and our great devotee of Lord Lakshmi Narayan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in his house for 4 months and explained that whole daytime Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing Harinam Sankirtan in the courtyard of Sri Rangam temple, and whole night with Prabodhananda Saraswati, with Venkat Bhatta and a little child Gopal Bhatta, son of Venkat Bhatta, and one more devotee was there. These four devotees with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would whole night Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would narrate stories of Krishna, and they would spend the night over there. And there was also worshipable deity of Venkat Bhatta in that house. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started moving, Gopal Bhatta, in the process of 4 months service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became so attached to him, he wanted to just go with him only. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you have to stay back and serve your parents. They are very getting old, and when they will leave the material world, you come to Vrindavan to meet me there. So Gopal Bhatta stayed back, although he was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His heart was sold out. But still he stayed back, took care of his parents. In the course of time they passed away, Venkat Bhatta and his wife, his mother and father, and then he immediately left for Vrindavan. At that time when he reached Vrindavan, in the old days, you know, there was no phone call, so there was no trains, no airplanes, and immediately you reach there, or first going before, you fall upon the phone, that, are you there, I am coming, this date I am coming, please be there. So nothing like that. The order was to come to Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami reached Vrindavan, walking from South India. Even it takes 4 hours for flight, even today also. It is about, I think, more than 2,500 kilometers. Maybe 3,000 kilometers, because it takes more than 24 hours to reach from here to Srirangam. 27, 28 hours it takes. And from here to Vrindavan, it takes about 24 hours, 20 hours. So almost, it is 3,000 kilometers. He walked all the way and realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not in Vrindavan. He is in Jagannath Puri. But the order was to go to Vrindavan, so he had to stay in Vrindavan. But he was in too much of separation. He was crying all the day. He was burning with the fire of separation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know this. So he sent his asan of sitting place, and he sent his kopin for him. And we received this Mahaprasad of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was somewhat pacified. But still he could not be free from separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dreams and told him that go to north, go to Nepal, Pashupatinath, and I will appear to you there. So immediately left for north. He went to Nepal, and there's a river called Gandaki River. You know Gandaki River? That river is very famous for Shaligram Shilas. It's a very unique river. The bottom of the river is filled with this beautiful form of the Lord. Long story of how Shaligram Shila was created. So this Shaligram Shilas of different types, you know, Vishnu form, Sheshashai Vishnu form, Garbhodashai Vishnu form, Narsingha Shila, Chakra Shila, and Lakshmi Shila, and Ganesh Shila, and Shiv Shila. There are all kinds of varieties of unlimited forms of these Shilas, and there are experts who will see the Shila, and from the symptoms, like we have Jananivas Prabhu. You show him Shila, and he will tell you which Shila is this. The Gopal Shila, Damodar Shila, or various Vishnu Shila, Sudarshan Shila, like that. So there are experts who will go down the water and fetch Shilas for you. But the most amazing thing happened in case of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. When he went to take bath in the river, all the Shilas are always underground. They don't float. But when he took water in his Kamandalu, do Ashman, some Shilas entered in that. Very surprising, right? From gravitational force, the Shila should be at the bottom of the river. But they came in the Kamandalu of this. So he immediately put it back. He said, by mistake, they must have come. Second time he did that, again some Shilas entered. And again he put it back in the water. Third time he again put his Kamandalu in water. 12 Shilas entered. And that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke that I have... Is there any message for me? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, it is me. Please take these Shilas. They are me only, myself. Take these Shilas back to Vrindavan and worship them as myself. So that time he took all the 12 Shilas and he travelled all the way back to Vrindavan. He was very, very happy and pacified. He started serving Shaligram Shilas with great love and devotion. Shaligram Shila is not different from Krishna. So all the 12 Shilas he would worship every single day. In the course of time, the Goswamis also were there in Vrindavan, and every Goswami got his own deity. Rupa Goswami, you know, discovered Govindji from Yogpeeth. Sanatan Goswami got Madan Mohanji in Mathura, in the Purushottam Chaubey's house. He brought him in bhiksha from there and served him with dal bati without salt every day. In the course of time, somebody, Man Singh, came and offered that I will build a temple for you. So Rupa Goswami moved to Jiva Goswami's temple, and temple was under construction there. In the course of time, temple was made, and some salt merchant came from Multan, Ramchandra Kapoor, and he offered to build a temple for Madan Mohanji on Vadasha Aditya Teel, and temple was made there. Then Rupa Goswami carved a deity for Jiva Goswami by his own hands under the guidance given in the dream by the Lord. And he offered it to Jiva Goswami, which was Radha Damodar, Lord Radha Damodar. So everybody had his own deities. And when the temple was established, Rupa Goswami had passed away. When temple was established, Madan Mohanji, Sanatan Goswami already had passed away. So their followers were worshipping the deities. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was still there. But I am talking about a time period when everybody was there around. The deities were there, the Goswamis were there, temple was under construction. One rich merchant came and distributed very costly paraphernalia of deities to all the Goswamis. Rupa Goswami for Govindji, Sanatan Goswami for Madan Mohanji, and Jiva Goswami for Damodarji, and Shamanand Pandit for Shamasundarji. Like that, all the Acharyas received beautiful ornaments, crowns and dresses and jewellery. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami also, that pan came to him. And he said, I want to offer you also. But he said, my Lord has no form. My Lord is like this round. It has no hands and legs, no hands, no legs, no face, no nose, like that. So he felt very sorry that I wish I also could have served my Lord as a form and use this paraphernalia. Nonetheless, he accepted because the donor was very insistent, you should have this jewelry. I'm not going to take it back. It is for you. So from that day onwards, Gopal Bhatta Goswami always started thinking that I wish my Lord has some form. I wish my Lord develops some form. I wish my Lord develops some form. He started praying to the Lord. And soon, Narasingha Chaturdashi came. Like today. Today, of course, now we are in the second part of the day, so we are in the Purnima part. He was on the Chaturdashi part, the Chaturdashi the previous day. And as usual in the Gaudiya tradition, we know that we come together, devotees come together, they fast, and they sit together and they narrate the pastimes of Lord Narasimhadev, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, everybody. And then, so similarly, Gopal Bhatta Goswami also sat down, devotees gathered, and he narrated the beautiful pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam. And while he was reciting the pastime, he came to the point of Hiranyakashipu asking, where is your Lord? And Prahlad answering, he is there in the pillar also. And instantly Lord came from the pillar, and the whole pastime he read. And that when he came to that point of the pastime, he understood, hey, see this, Prahlad just made one statement that he is there. And tatkshan, on the spot, Narasimhadev appeared. So why can't he appear from this Shila also? He can very well appear. He has the potency. What are you going to do? So that day's function got over. He closed the Bhagavatam. He put the all the Shaligram Shilas to rest. And how do we serve Shaligram Shilas? We serve them with Jamuna or Ganga Jal, with Chandan, with Tulsi leaves, with great ardent prayers. We know our Advaita Acharya had done this, the banks of Ganga. Ardently he worshipped Shaligram Shila, keeping the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come down, to deliver the whole world. So in similar fashion, with Jamuna Jal, with Tulsi, with Chandan and beautiful items, Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai ho. He served, and then time came to put them to rest that day. After the festival was over, devotees went away, they had prasadam, they did kirtan, and he put the Shaligram Shila to rest by putting a cloth over that. They remove the Chandan, they remove the Tulsi, and put a square cloth on each Shaligram Shila. And he went to sleep. When he got up next morning, he saw that one of the Shilas of those 12 had the cloth in a raised fashion. All the cloths were in horizontal fashion. One of the cloth was in standing fashion, as if somebody has put some stick, something like that. So he just ran to Jamuna, took bath and came back very great, you know, eagerness to open the deities, I mean to wake them up. And he saw from the Shila called Damodar, a beautiful form of the Lord had appeared from front. And that was named Radharaman Dev. Shri Radharaman Bhagavan ki jai ho. So Shila remained behind only. And from the front part of the Shila, the beautiful form of Radharaman Dev appeared. And it was of the height of 12 fingers. If I put my fingers like this, they are 8 and 4 more fingers. So 12 fingers tall. And it had the complexion of the Shaligram Shila only. It was made of the same material or same kind of things were there of Shaligram Shila. So, and immediately he called all the Goswamis. Rupa Goswami came, Sanatana Goswami came, and they were all so happy to see the deity. And Rupa Goswami was the one who proclaimed that the feet of this deity is exactly like Madan Mohanji. The Vakshasthal, that is the area from the navel to the neck, is exactly like Gopinathji. There is some description given different way. Some people say Govindji, some people say Gopinathji. And the face, the lotus face, the Mukha Kamal is exactly like Gopinathji. So this deity, when you see, you will be able to see Gopinathji, Madan Mohanji and Govindji at one time only. That is why I began the story like that. So it is explained that when you see Radharaman Dev, this name was given by Rupa Goswami only. The big feast was arranged that day. And the big feast was arranged and celebration was done and Radharaman Dev appeared. There is a Prakatasthali behind the temple today. And this temple is very, very close to our ISKCON movement also. Two generations before, the Vishwambar Goswami and current generation of Padmanabh Goswami, Padmanabhan Goswami are very close. I've got a message to end a class. I will tell you a very beautiful story before I end a class. That we were in Srirangam. At that time, we met Murli Bhattar, you know, who is the 16th, 17th generation from Venkat Bhatta. And our Ramachandra Goswami also was there from Nandgaon. So he said, you are Gopal Bhatta Goswami? He also stayed in Nandgaon. There is a bhajan sali of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And so many things passed, took place there. And Radharamanji one day became Gopal Bhatta Goswami. You want to know how? Yes, yes. Because when the deity appeared, he wanted to celebrate a big festival. And that time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami went to many vendors and merchants and took loan. And the celebration was done. I'll tell you a short story. And after the festival was over, there was a procession, there was kirtan, prasadam distribution, everything was nicely celebrated. And at that time, we told 15 days I'll pay the loan back. And no donations came. 15th day also came. And the whole night, 14th night, he could not sleep. And next day he went to the merchants and said, I'm very sorry, I don't have any money. The merchant said, what? You came yesterday and gave all the money back to us. And at that time, Gopal Bhatta Goswami realized that Radharaman Dev himself became Gopal Bhatta Goswami and paid the debts. And the Murli Bhattar said, yeah, I also have one story. How Sri Ranganath became Ramanujacharya one day. He said, how? Now this whole story is taking place in the house of Venkat Bhatta, where the Murli Bhattar had come and even Ramachandra Goswami had come and I was staying over there. So this Murli Bhattar said that Ramanujacharya one time saw one old Brahmin. He was very, very poor. Very, very poor and skinny and thin. So Ramanuja felt very pity on him. He said, I will provide you grains every day. He said that and he went away. He forgot actually because he was very busy on his tour and he went away. And what happened was, after a long time, Ramanujacharya came back. And he met the Brahmin again and he felt very sorry. Oh, I promised and I forgot. But the Brahmin looks very chubby and very nice and healthy now. So he said, I'm very sorry. I promised you and I could not give you. I told you I'll give you daily grains. He said, what you are telling? Daily you are coming to my house and delivering grains as per you promised. Why are you feeling so guilty? The Ramanujacharya realized that Sri Ranganathji himself became Ramanujacharya to deliver these grains. And this wonderful exchange took place in that house in our 2005 South India Yatra. Radharaman Dev Bhagavan ki! My desire is one day I want to bring Murari Murli Bhattar to Vrindavan at Padmanabha Goswami's house and have Mahaprasadam there, you know. Maybe one day it will be fulfilled. So anyways, the wonderful pastime today also happens to be the water and swing pastimes of Lord Krishna, which we don't have time now. Thank you very much. Today also happens to be the appearance day of Lord Buddha.